In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, as we have been going through the Gospel of John, and we've gone through, and God begins his public ministry in John chapter 4, as it were. He did it with Nicodemus in John 3, but now with the woman of Samaria. And he goes straight into the territory that is unacceptable to the Jews, the Samaritans. And he goes and passes all kinds of people. And he stops with one person. And he waits. And a woman comes to the well, a Samaritan, a harlot. She comes at noon because of her testimony, her reputation is not well received, understandably. And our Lord is waiting. He sends his disciples to get some food for lunch, so that he can deal with the woman straightway with no interference at all. The disciples wouldn't bring up, well, she's a Samaritan and all, she's not a Jew. They wouldn't even be there to bring it up. Now, in the light of that, though, as we've been sharing there, picking up, if I can, in the light of all of that, I'll read verse 19 just for a sake of a little review. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I believe that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, Gerizim, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship, Mount Zion. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, remember the Samaritans had gone way back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, after the division under Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the kingdom divided under Solomon, etc. And in that time, in that period, the Samaritans started, as it were, a group. And they were, upon the Assyrian captivity, the Assyrians divided, brought in all kinds of people from Babylon and everywhere, and caused the 10 tribes in the north to be scattered. Some were left, some went to Babylon, some went all over, and they brought in all kinds of people other than Jews, Samaritans, to come. And they would have all their gods and all their idols. So here in Jerusalem, here in Palestine, here comes all these religions are brought in to the area of the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes. And thus they're Samaritans. They're a mixture. They don't have pure Judaism, as it were, down in the south. They are a mixture. They have God, but they have gods. And you don't want to get rid of gods. You want all gods to one of you. So you can add gods. You don't want to subtract gods from your repertoire, your usage. Therefore, here they are. And remember, the Samaritans said that Mount Gerizim, that's over here, looking up, going up northward. Over here is Mount Ebal, over here. And Mount Ebal is where they did Moses, was to offer a sacrifice, not on Mount Gerizim. The Samaritans changed it from Mount Ebal to Mount Gerizim, and they made a temple and worship there. They made that the place to worship. Mount Zion and the temple in Jerusalem was the written, given place of worship. They would not go there because of their problem with their mixture of religions and all of that. And so they had their own thing up here at Mount Gerizim. And the woman is saying, listen, at Mount Gerizim, when we had a temple and we did the sacrifices, all of the sacrifices took place there. We never went to Jerusalem. The Jews never came up here. And thus, in the Samaritan history, they took it from Abraham sacrificed on Mount Gerizim, Isaac, not at Mount Zion. They brought it so that Mount Gerizim was the center point. Now, that's in her mind, And remember now, she's been tagged, God has, well, I'll keep, tagged as a harlot. She's had five husbands, is living with another man. Here she has all of this. Her heart has been exposed. She tried to cover, tried to hide it, and now it's wide open. And so the need. I need to make a sacrifice. All religions need sacrifice. The Jews had sacrifice. The Samaritans had sacrifice. How do you handle sin? By sacrifice. Where do I go with my sacrifice, my offering for my sin? I'm a harlot. I got problems. I've been exposed. I need to get forgiveness. Where am I going to go with my sacrifice to get to God? In the light of Mount Zion in Jerusalem, in the Mount of Gerizim in the north, where am I going to go? Now, having said that, in to worship the Father, verse 22, ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, it's true that the temple under Solomon was desecrated, thereabouts, there right after. And in the process of that, Solomon's temple was destroyed in the days of Ezra, Nehemiah, Nebuchadnezzar. He destroyed the temple. The glory of Ezra, Nehemiah, the rebuilt temple, had no glory. It had God's grace, but no glory was given there. Herod came along with his temple, and he has no glory. The Jews are sacrificing and doing their religious holidays, Passover, etc. In Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus, we read in John chapter 2, etc., 3, they had gone. The Lord went to every Passover. He turned the money, turned everything upside down. He said, you've made my house, you've desecrated my house, the house of my Father. It's a house of prayer, and you've ruined, you've desecrated it, defiled it. So there is no, is it, if I went to Jerusalem, is that a big deal? No, not now. In the future, in the kingdom, when the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning, then. But not now. Not now. So therefore, and Mount Gerizim is irrelevant. It isn't even real, scripturally, otherwise. So now, they didn't know, the Samaritans didn't know. And they chose Gerizim. The Jews weren't conscious. Were they conscious of getting to God? No. They just wanted to fulfill their religious function in an acceptable ritual practice so that we did all the right things in the right way so we can say and check off, we finished Sunday. Now we can go on to the next thing. Now, as it were. Now, verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, we're going to try to take a look, if I can. They need to know that the issue isn't a place. It isn't a place. That they have a place. They have a certain place. A certain place. We did it last time, you know. Moses went to the burning bush up there in Mount Sinai, up through there. And he went to the burning bush and it 100 times or more passed it. Now. But this time God was there and the bush was holy. It was only a bush that was holy and set apart as long as God was there. And thus Moses met God. Moses was introduced, God introduced himself to Moses at the bush. But then, the bush is just the bush again. The bush, the temple, is only as good as when God is there. And if God isn't there, it doesn't make any, your Bible would be zero if God doesn't back it up. All your activity, ritual, everything you do, you can do it to the nth degree. It is no good if God isn't in it. It's no good. It's not worship. What is worship? And we shared that last time a little bit. And here we're looking at worship. And you have to worship the Father, in spirit and truth. So now we want to take a look and look at it. And remember, animal sacrifices were all there. And all the sacrifices, a pot, just a sacrifice. And they all had a purpose in reminding everyone that offered them that there was a wonderful sacrifice God would make by the giving of his Son. And when that sacrifice was made, that would satisfy God. Satisfy God for the sins of the world. Now, but all the animal sacrifices were of no value at all. So you could have 1,000 animals. And if God isn't in it, it won't make any difference. Now, and in the process of all of that, if you leave God out, if you leave God out of anything, what are you going to have in his place? There's only one God. Only one God. Now, eliminate him in your movement, thought, word, deed, trust, future. What is there left in your life that gives you any kind of safety in moving forward? What is there that is authoritatively right and real and true if you leave God out? A Buddha won't help you. Hindu? Confucius? Shinto? I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. What have you got? Nothing. All the ritual and all the rigor and all the sacrifice. If you leave God, the only God there is, out, you have nothing, nothing. No one to replace him. Do you understand that? Think about it. Only one God. There's different gods, then we'll choose them. But there are not different gods. Only idols. Only religion. Only one God. If I leave him out, I'm truly, truly stuck. And I have no answer. That's rather sobering. I can go to this church, that church, just do whatever you want. Only one God. And either you are connecting with him rightly or you're not. That's all. And you can do whatever you want. People are doing it. And they're trying to find that escape of satisfaction, security, and all that. Now, having said that, God said to this woman, and remember we shared in the context of chapter 4, she did not have any spiritual understanding. She had no knowledge of God, of the gift of God. She was sort of stupid about the whole thing. She just didn't know. Her system never gave her a reality about God. So she had all of it, but nothing at all. Now, having said that, God, you have to be worshipped in spirit and truth. Now, let's put that together a little bit. I'm going to try to get a couple of things. God, to worship you in spirit and truth. All right? Over, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to know God, but we want to know him in spirit and truth. The It's the only way you can do it. You can't just say God. You've got to approach God truly, in truth, and spiritually. Well, how do we do that? We can say it, but what on earth does that really mean in its outworking? Chapter 15, we need some help. Chapter 15, may I stop, please, in verse 35. I'm going to read. I could tell you it, but I cannot write it better than what it says. 35, speaking of resurrection. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Now, different bodies, that's right. Now, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, made alive, except it die. That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance be wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same. Flesh there is of one kind, flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial, that's heavenly, bodies, and terrestrial, that's earthly. But the glory of the celestial, heavenly, heavens and stars and moon, that's of one kind. Earth is of another kind. Earth is one kind. All the stars and everything, they're of another kind. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from the other star in glory, brilliance. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. You have a physical body. You all have one, I can see it. That's a physical, real body. There is a spiritual body that is going to come when God changes us and takes us in resurrection. We're going to have a spiritual body. This is a fleshly, earthly body. Hang on to that. Verse 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening, life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that is which is spiritual. We first become fleshly, earthly, and then we become, you have physical birth before you have to have physical birth before you can have spiritual birth. You can't be born spiritually till you're born physically. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthly, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthly. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthly, and we do, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, spiritual. But now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, our present terrestrial body, flesh and blood, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It isn't going to go. It's earthy, earthy. That's all this is. So you must worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, it isn't going to be this way, because this is just physical. That isn't going to be it. We aren't talking about that. We're talking something else, spiritual. All right. Go with me, please, over to the Gospel of John again. Let me actually put my finger on it. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 23. I'm going in the middle of the verse. True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. All right. In spirit, all right. Verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. So, spirit. We understand there's a fleshly body and a spiritual body, which we don't have yet. And there's a spirit to honor God spiritually. Okay, how so? John chapter 3, and in verse 6. John 3, and in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's physical. That which is born of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is spirit. So God, you do something then. Physical birth we have by way of our parents. And spiritual birth, we have fleshly, we already have that, earthly, body, soul, and we have a spirit. But our spirit is made for you, God, because you're spiritual. So you didn't make us like an antelope, cantaloupe, or anything else. You made us human, human, human. We're different. We're different than bugs. We're different than them. Wow. And so we have a unique relationship to God as a person. Body. The body houses the soul, the person lives inside that never dies. And the soul houses my spirit. And I was made, you were made, to honor God, to know God. You have, like, just think of having a radio that has able to turn to AM, and then you have the added feature in the radio to turn to FM. We all have AM, and we're equipped for FM. But we've got to get it connected. We're equipped for God now. In the light of that, chapter 8 of Romans, Romans chapter 8, body, soul, spirit, and we get spiritually saved, spiritually alive. Do you understand? We have spiritual life. That's what we have. And chapter 8, verse 16 of Romans. The Spirit itself, or himself, beareth witness with our what? Spirit. Not with our body, not with our soul, with our spirit. That's how you are made. You are made to know and fellowship with God uniquely, wonderfully, especially. Wonderfully so. And thus I'll read again, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we have to be saved. We're born again spiritually, and God deals with us spiritually. What's he dealing with? He's got the FM tune alive. The frequency is there. The power is there. He gives power to the relationship to use FM, and we can hear and talk in a whole nother realm with authority, with safety. We can read God's word, comparing spiritual with spiritual, and we can read it, and it isn't just wonderful English grammar and eloquence and all of that. It's more than that. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Life. Pregnant. Each sentence, pregnant with life, you see. Don't you wish you could write like that? That's truth. Full of life. The seed, the word of God that causes growth. Wow. So now, having said that, over to Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. God is spirit, and God is invisible. Invisible. He never moves, because everything is in the middle of God. That's hard for us, but you have to just understand God is God. God is gone. Everything, all the planets and all the stars and billions of galaxies, they just sit in the middle of God. Just sit there. Wow. Awesome. Yes. Now verse 20. 1 and 20 of Romans. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now how on earth are we going to see them? Being understood by the things that are made. How do we know God is a unique, awesome person? So that we understand God's eternal power, verse 20, and Godhead, which is deity, his deity, he's God, so that they are without excuse. Do you see the flowers? Do you see your own hand? Do you see your eye? No. God did them. You can't study. I wish I could study stuff. You couldn't study any subject. I don't know what subject you want to study. From nuclear physics to quantum mechanics to whatever you want to do. There is no study that is not going to awaken your heart to the marvelousness of the invisible that is made real to us. And the people that know, we did it the other day, 10 drops of water, 10 drops, singular drops of water, if that's true, and I don't know how they measure it, 10 drops of water. There are more molecules, not molecules, whatever you want to call them, in there than the stars in 10 little drops of water. Did you see them when you drank the water? Do you understand every place you put your finger is a world and a universe within a world within a world? Do you understand? It's invisible. A massive world going on all around us, not only electronically and by media, but by the very natural creation of God with bacteria and movement and different rays and different cosmic rays and all of the different things all working together, and they're all full of life. I can't see them, but I can understand by the things that are made that God, you are something else. And then I get a telescope up there, Hubble, to look up, and then I get these super duper microscopes that are able to go and magnify it 6 million times or more. Wow! And we see worlds we never dreamed of. Invisible. You're invisible apart from your body. Are you not? You don't understand. If you die, if I die, you put me in the box down here and close the cover. And you put me in the box and close the cover. Now, and you say, where is he? Am I in the box? Could you see me? You could see my physical body. And if you watch it long enough, it'll become a wonderful Halloween fixture. True? Just watch it long enough, and I'll be fit for Halloween. But you can't see me. You only see me because of my person inside of me. When I leave, you no see me anymore. I'm all gone. Our whole life, invisible, invisible. He's the invisible God. And everyone that's in science and studies understands things that we can't even dream of. You eat your food, don't you? Whatever. You eat the food, and the food you eat, and you eat it, and you got a million bacteria every square inch of your body, and they're all over. They're having a good time, and you have to eat the food. The food's having a good time, apart from whatever. The food's having a good time, right? Your eyelids. We had a film in it. It was wonderful. You can't show it because people say, "Ooh, they don't want to see it." Remember, they showed your eyelid, human eyelid. And they went and had a thing on, looked at it, and it was all moving, all kinds of critters up here, all having a wonderful life, right in your eyeball.
Wow! You don't see them? They're invisible.
God is invisible. God is.
So we can't see him? Can't be.
You haven't even thought about anything. Wow. So now, God, in the light of that, they are clearly seen. They are without excuse. Over, if you would, please. Over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians in chapter 1. That's why study and science is so wonderful on the one hand, it's very troublesome on the other, but you have all kinds of opportunity today that no one ever had a microscope. Did you know that? And they did very well. They did very well. The Mayas, the Incas, they all built Aztecs. They built things that blow your mind away, like the Egyptians. And they didn't have anything like we do. They had a brain surgery that they did successfully. Wow. Think if they were living today. We moved that crowd up with that mentality and gave them the equipment and the knowledge we have. What would happen, you see? Wow. But no, we're here. We got all of this. And we're indifferent to the revelation that is being made known to us time after time by science and everything. And we try to hide it under evolution or something else to escape the magnificence. You are without excuse. You are without excuse. Now, Colossians 1:16. By him, by Christ, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, and invisible, all the invisible that we can't see them. That's the word visible means you can't see them. Normally, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, the things were created by him and for him. All things were created by him and for him. And so God, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. How are we going to see the invisible God? He was born in Bethlehem of Judea by the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, so that you and I and the world would see God. How could we see him? The Lord Jesus Christ brings God to the forefront. God sent his Son to pay the price so that we could know and honor the living and only God in a God-honoring way. Now, having said that, and so we need to receive him, the invisible God. Remember Moses? You don't have to turn there. Remember Moses in God recording Moses' life. And in Hebrews 11:27, he had a mental grasp of an understanding of God by the things that were made. Psalm 19, he had a mental grasp of God, He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses, how did you ever get? No, he had no help. No encouragement. Who's going to encourage Moses? Aaron didn't do it. His sister didn't do it. Miriam. The people aren't going to do it. They don't even know where he's coming from. Moses, how do you do it? Because I have a mental understanding of the invisible presence, the presence of the invisible, infinite God, who showed himself in a bush, in a fire. Wow. Now, and you know the great benediction. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto him, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, invisible God. That's right.
How are we going to worship him? In spirit and truth.
Well, A, what are you looking? You're looking for you as a person to have a unique relationship to the invisible God by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes and saves you. And the Spirit of God makes it real so that he gives you the wonderful reality of all the benefits of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He gives all of those benefits to us so that we have spiritual life, so that we can come to God, talk to God, look to God, trust God. A spiritual birth for a spiritual relationship. That's what we have. Well, how about just, couldn't I just sing? Sure you could. Couldn't I just sing amazing? Sure you could sing it. You could do a whole lot of things. I love God. You need to do it being spiritually alive. A parrot can say that, can he? If you had a good parrot, something, a chickadee, parrot, whatever you want, and the parrot, you train the parrot, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Couldn't the parrot say it? Is a parrot worshiping God? No. It's mimicking, saying a word. That's all it's doing. There's no relationship. You letting God be God to you, and God being God to you, and you being created, saved, looking to God, to God. God is looking to you, looking for you to enjoy him as a saved sinner by the grace of God, so that the saved sinner by the grace of God enjoys God's magnificent person, a unique, wonderful relationship. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Wow. Now, having said that, and you know angels and spirits, how many angels are in this room? How many demons are in this room? You can't see them. You can't see them. They don't exist. Well, don't say that. They do exist. They are spirits. And you can't see spirits because we're earthly. We're equipped with eyes, physical eyes. We're equipped for earthly existence. And the Spirit of God saves us for a spiritual existence while we're in an earthly body. So by faith we look to God, we walk by faith, we look to God by faith, and God does a wonderful work in our heart. Now, over, while you aren't far away, just over, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. All kinds of ways to do it. Just let me put it out on the table for you. God gives you a unique relationship to God. And the Spirit of God does that when you get saved. God makes your human spirit alive. Gives it life. Just like you have physical life, you have spiritual life. And God did it. God did it. And you know that you have it. When you have it. Don't you? When you're really saved, you know it. You don't hope, then you, that something's wrong with the connection. You ought to know you're saved. You ought to show you're saved, you say. Why? We just did in Sunday school. Because we're resting in the wonderful person and work of Almighty God. That's real. And with all the stuff and all the complications and everything, here's God still. And here's his word, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And our blessings, our resources. Now you can go to work and you get your paycheck. You can go and get groceries and do all the different things. But all, and we eat them. We eat the food and we drive the car, put gas in the car. We do all of that. And all of that's earthly, fleshly. And that's wonderful. But God has done something wonderful. He's given us a unique relationship to himself that allows God to be our source of supply. To supply us. with all the riches of heaven. God, here you are, that's right. And God said, you have a unique relationship to me that allows me in you to produce, as we showed, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is, I'm going to work within you, verse 13, chapter 2, Philippians. I'm going to work in you. I'm going to take care of all these things. You know it from John 6, don't you? Matthew 6. All the world is seeking about to survive and succeed, to eat, to drink, to put clothing on. They do not have a relationship to me, said God. You have a relationship to me, and I will supply all your need. I am your Father. God, what do you want? I want people to worship me, the Father. What's the thing that happens in your life when you get saved? If you really get saved, one of the first things, the Spirit of God comes into our heart, Romans 8 and Galatians 4, crying, what? Abba, Father. Abba, Hebrew, Chaldean. Abba, Father. That's the first word, Father. You see, wow! Now, hold if you would please, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John in chapter 14. Verse 6. Thomas, remember, wants to know the way in verse 5. Verse 6, 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him, and you have seen him. Thomas, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in my Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. To see me, said the Lord Jesus, is to see the Father. I bring God, the invisible God, into focus in a human body, just like you do. So when you receive me as your Savior, in your human body, you'll remember my human body, and I, God, in my human body, said the Lord Jesus, my in that. So I'm going to be in your human body. I'm going to be in your body. The invisible God. A unique, wonderful, personal relationship. And without me, John 15, you can do nothing. Nothing at all. Would you go with me, please, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. You must worship me in spirit and in truth. Truth, remember, is reality revealed. And here's a pencil, fortunately, and we use it. It's easy to use. Pencil, the lead. Lead. The lead is revealed. And the true, it is true. It is a true picture. It is truth. The lead is all the way. And if I keep sharpening the pencil, I'm going to keep finding that same piece of lead all the way to the end. The real reality of the realness of God. He's true. And what he does on the outside, what he says, follow it all the way. Follow it all the way. It'll be the same all the way to his wonderful person. And we're going to do it in truth. So God, we're going to come to you based on your word. And we're going to come to you and spiritually, we're going to come. We have a unique relationship, a body, soul, and spirit. And God, you give us spiritual life if we'd take it. If we take it and we're able to exercise it, wonderfully so. Just as certainly as I can turn on AM, I can turn on FM. As surely as I can hear AM, I'm able to relate to FM by way of God's Word, by way of the Spirit of God. Now, John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. What is this relationship? God to know you, the only God. That's right. That's what I started with. The only God. So if you have anything else, there is no other God. There is nothing else. So everything else is nothing. It's irrelevant. John, are you going to tell us that again before you close? Uh-huh. Over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Remember, God tells the truth, is the truth. You cannot make the truth better. You cannot make the truth worse. God is always right, always real. He's the true God, the only one there is. What's it all about? Old woman at the well, Samaritan woman. It's to know God. You don't need to go to Mount Gerizim. You don't need to go to Mount Zion right now. I'm standing right in front of you. You want to worship the Father. To know me is where spirit and truth come together. I am who I am, sitting at the well. And by the way, you never did give me a drink. You never gave me one. But I didn't need one. But I'm going to give you one. And he did. He did. Thus, 1 John 5. How are you going to say those wonderful things to us in some fashion? Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given to us an understanding. What for? That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Amen, said God. You have it all in one package. Now, either you trust me or you don't. Woman, and the woman will say, won't she? We'll pick it up. I perceive that you must be the Messiah. You must be the Messiah, the promised one. She's on her way. She's on her way, isn't she? Do I understand who you are, God? Uh-huh. Here we are with all of the history behind us. With all of the stuff to look at. And you know it doesn't work. All you know, you don't want to get addicted to your little boxes, computers, texting, ticking, and all the rest of them. You don't want to have all that stuff, you know. You get addicted to it. You can't do without it. I heard people say, don't take it away from me all day. I got to have it. Addicted to the dumb. It'd be like me addicted to the land telephone, and I could never leave longer than the cord. Never leave longer than the cord. I mean, anyway, we got a society that has been so hoodwinked, so caught up, that what we had 150 years ago, the people of 50 years, 60 years ago, are a different crowd today. And they got a whole lot of things they're missing, my dear friend. And that's why the election coming up. They don't understand what we're losing or what we had. Because they never had it in their history. They have no idea about World War II. Do they? They have no idea of what we did and why we did it. They don't know. God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. God, Spirit of God, help us give understanding. We're trying to get pieces and this and that, and God, we need to get them together so that we can understand the better. Spirit of God, you'll have to help us and do it, because we just don't do it like we should. So handle it, help us deal with our hearts. God, would you help us understand the marvelousness of being in your presence, having your word, and able to do business with you, the invisible God, in a most wonderful, visible way, so that whether we eat or drink, we can do it to your honor and glory. God, thank you. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Perhaps we could sing, please. 548.